Salle Palmeret, 7 mars, 14h, session de mise à jour de la stratégie du Moyen-Orient et futur.
Okay, good afternoon everyone and welcome to the ICANN Middle East strategy update. I'm Beher Asmat, I'm with ICANN. I'm part of the Global Stakeholder Engagement Team in the Middle East. I'd like to welcome you all here in this session. I'd also like to note that we have interpretation services, English, French, and Arabic. So make sure you utilize them and speak the language of your preference. So the purpose of this presentation is to give a quick update on the Middle East strategy and more precisely to provide or to highlight some of the accomplishments of the strategy over the past sort of 3 years now. The journey started a little more than 2 years ago, or maybe 3 years ago, with a call for a working group to develop a strategy for ICANN in the Middle East. And by the way, as the group began its work and began looking into issues that you know relate to the region, they realized that you know the Middle East as a term might not be adequate in describing the region. And suggestion was to call it Middle East and adjoining countries, recognizing that there are countries there like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran that are also part of the Middle East region as far as our engagement work at ICANN is concerned. So this group got together, worked for about 6 months on developing a three-year strategy together with an implementation plan, annual implementation plan. We're currently in year three, and the end of year three and the end of the strategy will be June this year. So we're getting very close to the end of this sort of journey, and one of the main objectives of this session is to discuss with you way forward. So the strategy, as some of you know, because actually some of you have taken part in this work and have, you know, developed the strategy, there were three main strategic goals in there between fostering two-way engagement between ICANN and community, building strong and competitive domain name industry, and promoting multi-stakeholder internet governance across the region. These were the main strategic goals, and the strategy also identified three main areas for ICANN together with community to work on in order to achieve and accomplish these goals. And the strategic areas were DNS security and stability, domain name industry, and internet governance ecosystem. The key projects and initiatives that ICANN has been working on to fulfill the goals fall under six main sort of buckets, one on regional events and activities, another one on stakeholder participation, LRoute instances, DNS market study, DNS entrepreneurship center, and media outreach. And I'm going to very quickly touch upon some of the key achievements in each of these areas. Okay. So under regional events and activities over the past 2 years, and with help and support from you, we were able to launch a number of regional events, in order to foster more engagement and participation in ICANN work. So we launched the Middle East DNS Forum in 2014. The first edition of this forum took place in Dubai, in United Arab Emirates, and we had the second edition last year in Amman, and we're very happy and proud to announce that the third edition of the Middle East Forum is going to take place in Tunis in May this year, on 4th and 5th of May this year, hosted by the ATI. ATI is the internet agency of Tunisia, and also the registry of .tn and .tunis, and we're very grateful for ATI for hosting this this event. We also launched a national version of this forum in Turkey, and one of the reasons we had this initiative in Turkey is that Turkey is such a big country with too many things happening there, and their needs are a little different than those of the rest of the region. Quite a big market. They have their CCTLD has close to 400,000 top domain names registered. They have 8 ICANN accredited registrars with tens of resellers working there. So we've had 2 editions of this forum so far, the last of which was in Istanbul last month. We also kicked off the Middle East Internet Governance School, and we had 2 editions so far, one in Kuwait and the other one in Tunis. Upon the request of the internet community in Pakistan, we supported the launch of the Pakistani Internet Governance School, an initiative that many stakeholders in Pakistan, including ISOC Islamabad and other universities and stakeholders, are involved in. We also have run a number of workshops on different DNS aspects, including DNSSEC and other technical DNS issues, and also on DNS law enforcement issues. So we've been working with a number of certs across the region. We've offered, with the help of our security and stability team at ICANN, 1 or 2 day workshops in various countries, and this again with help also from local communities who again have generously hosted those events, like in Lebanon, in Egypt, and in other places. At the same time, we've also been to other events. So in addition to events that ICANN is sponsoring or organizing, we've also been to other events, regional events like MENOG, like the EAGE. EAGE is the event for the Arab education networks. We've been to ArabNet. We've been to the regional GSMA meetings, HIVIS, the Internet Governance Initiative in MENA region, and many others. The next slide, in fact, depicts some of the events that we've participated in. Just to let you know, over the past 2 years, we as ICANN staff participated in more than 50 events in the region, from events that are organized by private sector, government, civil society, academia, technical community, and so forth. So this is part of the two-way engagement. So in addition, asking people to come to ICANN meetings, ICANN also go out and participate in regional and national events. Okay. stakeholder participation. This is stakeholder participation in ICANN and ICANN policy work. The task force on Arabic script IDNs. This is one of the most successful initiatives in our region. It was one of the recommendation of the Middle East strategy. But let me also emphasize the fact that work on IDNs in this region started long before the Middle East strategy was put together. It actually started even before I myself joined ICANN. This is an effort that started way back in 2002 or 2003 with leaders from the region in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Syria, other countries who took on their shoulders the responsibility of pushing the Arabic domain names to implementation. I was talking to the task force the other days, and I noted that I remember exactly 10 years ago, we were here in Marrakesh, I think it was ICANN 25 or 26 in Marrakesh, and one of the key debates at that meeting was IDNs. And back then, we didn't have IDNs at the top level. It was only available at the second level, a solution which was not satisfactory for our community, our Arabic script or Arabic language community. So today we're very proud of the work of the IDN task force because simply they were the first task force to complete the work on the label generation rules. And they're going to actually announce this work this week in Marrakesh. So I think a word of congratulation to this group on their excellent excellent work and excellent achievement. The as part of our stakeholder participation in ICANN, we started a practice of webinars, regular webinars on different topics. So we started this last year, and because the work of the IANA transition and ICANN accountability has been, the focus of our work in the past couple of years, so most of the webinars were dedicated for this topic. But we also had other webinars on other regional engagement work, and we, are committed to continuing this practice going forward. And we're discussing, Fad and myself, recently whether we want to evolve this into, in addition to having webinars that provide general updates on what's going on at ICANN, we could also dedicate some of those sessions to address specific topics, or maybe address or target specific communities, like maybe having webinars with civil society or webinars with government or GATT members and so forth. So this is just an idea. Also, we've seen community participation with remote hubs for the ICANN meetings. Many hubs have been hosted over the past couple of years in a number of countries across the region. Also, as part of the community participation in ICANN, we've seen increase in memberships in some of the ICANN supporting organizations, advisory committees, constituencies. And again, credit for this goes to you. It goes to the community, because you guys, when you come to ICANN and you engage in the work of ICANN, you go back to your countries, you spread the word, you work with your communities on, raising awareness about what ICANN does, explaining why it's important for your communities to participate. So in the past couple of years, we've witnessed increase not only in the number of fellows and participants of the ICANN Next Gen program, but also in the participation in the various constituencies from CSG, ALAC, NCUC, more members joining the GAC, more members joining at large, and so forth. This slide illustrates the increase in the number of participants at ICANN meetings and also the number of fellows that come from the Middle East and North Africa. And of course, you can see the increase maybe starting June 2014. The London meeting was peak, probably because it was London, not because it was ICANN meeting. But then we've also seen a good turnout in meetings like in Singapore last year and in Dublin, which was last October. The number of fellowships also increased a little bit. Maybe we had little turnout in Los Angeles, ICANN 51, and that was due to visa issues. On the ICANN security and stability, which was one of the key strategic areas under the Middle East strategy, we've been working with ISPs, network operators around the region to encourage them to host an instance of the LRoot. LRoot is the root server that ICANN runs, and our DNS technical team at ICANN has been very active in, you know, spreading this route around the world. So we've had, in the past couple of years, we've seen new instances deployed in Dubai, Islamabad, Lahore, Amman, and just yesterday there was an additional instance deployed here in Morocco in Rabat, and I did forget.
Yes,
to mention Tunisia.
Yes,
ATI hosted an LRoot as well.
We have an instance in Tunisia too.
Maybe it was, so this is in the past 2 years. Was it in the past 2 years? I'm not reporting on all LRoot.
2013.
So this is a glitch on our part. Okay, thank you, ATI again. Now, also in our effort to foster more engagement with community members, key stakeholders, we've signed an agreement with the Egyptian National Telecommunication Regulatory Authority, NTRA, to establish the DNS Entrepreneurship Center. And I'm going to talk about this center in a little more detail. But, you know, just to very quickly, the main goal of this center is to develop a network of experts in the various aspects of DNS across the region. So this network is not going to be in Egypt. This network is going to be across Africa and the Middle East. And we're working with many partners on building capacities and preparing the sort of next generation of experts in DNS across the region. We also signed an MOU with the Qatar CRA, the Communication Regulatory Authority of the State of Qatar, on promoting the work of ICANN, particularly promoting the principles of multi-stakeholder internet governance, and also in support for our work in developing the domain name industry in the region. We signed an agreement with URID. URID is the European top-level domain.eu, and URID has been one of our partners in developing the DNS industry in the region. They participated in more than one workshop, you know, together with us, together with, you know, the DNS Center, and they also developed the or conducted the Middle East DNS market study, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. So the DNS Entrepreneurship Center, over the past year, we started this project in March. Although the agreement was signed in June 2014, the actual work began in March last year with the first workshop that was held in Cairo on the DNS registry best practices. And since then, we have organized more than 9 workshops. We have trained more than 150 people from 15 different countries. Part of this training, by the way, is on DNS technical issues, part of it on legal issues. Like very recently, we had a workshop on domain name dispute resolution, part of it on DNS business and marketing sort of strategies, and we had a very focused workshop on, we call it the SWOT workshop. This is a workshop that does SWOT analysis on the national DNS market. So we go and work with CCTLDs. They invite their registrars, their resellers, their stakeholders, and we sit in a room for 2 days doing, you know, SWOT analysis and team exercises and coming up with recommendation on, you know, where the challenges are, where the opportunities are, what needs to be done to further develop and grow the local market. We've done this workshop in 4 countries so far, in Tunisia, in Qatar, in Emirates, and in Oman. And we're, you know, looking forward to doing more of this in the coming months. One key track in our or in the center's sort of, you know, program, capacity building program, train the trainer. So as I said, the goal is not only to conduct training and that's it. The purpose is to make sure that we're building local capacities and developing local expertise. So we've been very much focused on training the trainer concept, and so far we've had I could say that we have a success story to tell under the technical track of this project. We've had a trainer session last year in Dubai. We trained more than, I think it was 9 or 10 people. This is very, you know, specific training. We're targeting people with expertise in DNS technical issues. And the good news about this track is that today we have we're working with 3 or 4. Potential trainers from the region, from Tunis, from Egypt, Pakistan, and Turkey. And some of them actually participated in trainings that we organized this year. In 2015, they participated as co-trainers. So what we plan to do from now on in any technical training that ICANN is going to organize is that we're going to send a lead trainer from our side, but then we're going to, you know, ask one of our, you know, community trainers to participate as co-trainers. And, you know, after maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 trainings, they will become experts themselves and they will be able to go and conduct trainings themselves. Of course, our goal is to replicate this story in other tracks, like the policy track or the business track. But of course, for the technical track, it was a bit easier because we have plenty of technical expertise in our region. They just need the opportunity to, you know, be able to, you know, participate as trainers or co-trainers and acquire the required confidence for this job. Okay, the DNS market study, this was another recommendation that came through the Middle East strategy. The community asked ICANN to conduct a DNS market study to analyze the market, to get some data about this industry in the region, and to put some recommendations forward. And because you know, ICANN as staff, we don't have this expertise in-house, so we put put out a bid, a call for consultants and experts to deliver this this study, and the bid went to URID, as I said, .eu, and they started the work back in May 2015, I guess, and right before the Dublin meeting, they submitted a draft report on the study. It was posted for public comments, discussed in Dublin, and the public comments continued after Dublin, and the final report was posted, I guess, last week. Today we have the study, available, and we're going to have more detailed discussion about this study tomorrow. So URID is going to present on this study tomorrow. We have a session tomorrow at sometime tomorrow. It's DNS Industry in the Middle East. I think this is the title. You can find it on the schedule, and I would encourage you to come and participate in this. So it's in the same...
in the same room at 4.30 p.m.
4.30 p.m. in the same room tomorrow.
Yeah, same room.
Okay, it will be about the study and a couple of other initiatives that, you know, community members will update us on. I think this is the last sort of area I'm going to update you on, media outreach. So when we started the work on the Middle East strategy, some community members rightly noted that ICANN is not visible in any, you know, local or regional media across the Middle East. And oftentimes we have events, we participate in events, and it, you know, those events go unnoticed by media. So we started to, provide more resources in media. We, I think it was almost a couple of years now, we had our EMEA director of media, Luna Madi. She joined ICANN in 2014, working out of London so far. She will eventually move to Istanbul to work from our hub in Istanbul. So Luna, she comes from the region, she speaks the language, she speaks other languages as well, and what we've done so far is that in any regional event that we organize as ICANN, like DNS forums, like, you know, summer schools, like, you know, other major outreach activities that we do around new GTLDs, around other topics, we make sure that we invite media. We call them media roundtables. So we invite key media, people from the country or the region. We provide them with brief on what's going on, what ICANN does, what the meeting is about, and so forth. And then we follow up with them on, you know, maybe articles or news to be published on their outlets. We have also had different and several interviews over the past couple of years. I myself have done at least 6 or 7 interviews with different media outlets. Like, you can see the list of countries, though the font is very small, in Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Morocco, Tunisia, and United Arab Emirates. And of course, we have also the ICANN EMEA newsletter. The newsletter is available in 3 languages: French, English, and Arabic. And this is, it started as a quarterly newsletter. It has recently become a monthly newsletter to provide community with recent updates and highlights on what's going on in EMEA. And this chart shows the number of articles and news that were published in the region. You can see that, I guess, Turkey has the largest number, followed by United Arab Emirates and then Egypt. And, of course, the reason that 2016, which is the very chart to the right, is not like, you know, as the other two, because we're still in the beginning of the year. Next steps. And now this is actually a question to all of you about next steps. As I said, we are coming very close to the end of the three-year mandate of the Middle East strategy. By end of June, we're going to deliver our final report on the three-year strategy. But from now till then, we need to have this conversation with you. And we started the conversation actually a couple of weeks ago when we had our webinar. We put the same question to those who were on the webinar, and then we also sent the question to the various regional mailing lists about what is next. And with that, I precisely mean when we started this journey 3 years ago, we had this Middle East strategy working group. Okay, I'm not sure I can see this. So, thank you, Ali. So we had the strategy working group, the, you know, community members who... Okay, all right. So probably we need to do something to get it on the screen. So anyway, I don't have any other slides. This was the last one, I guess. So we had the Middle East Strategy Working Group that, you know, took the responsibility, the, you know, full responsibility for this work, and they also followed up on the implementation. So they also provided advice and sort of oversight role on the implementation of the strategy over the past 2-3 years. So now the question whether we want the same group to continue, or we want, you know, maybe another group with another kind of structure to be established, whether we want to have a closed group, whether we want to have an open-ended kind of group, whether we want to maintain the membership of this group for people who come from the region, or we want to open it for, you know, others who come from outside. All these are questions. And of course, there are other questions on the modality of works, but this will depend on the sort of model that we will agree upon. But in any case, this is a question for all of you, and actually one of, you know, my sort of goals, or let's say the takeaways I want to take from this session, is to get your feedback and views on this very question of what is next. But of course, we're going to open the floor for comments, questions on the entire update that I provided. So with that, I thank you very much for listening, and now the floor is open for questions and comments. And just a reminder, we have our interpretation services, so feel free to speak the language of your choice, and the headsets are available for those who need them. Thank you.
I am Adil from Pakistan. I am a NextGen member. So, since you mentioned there is one DNSSEC trainer from Pakistan, I would like to know its name. And you have mentioned that that one chief trainer will be from ICANN. So, is there an eligibility criteria or any restriction from the part of ICANN? Any financial restriction, or there has to be these number of people, students, network operators, or any restriction like that?
Okay, thank you, Adil, and thank you everybody for joining this session. So I'm Fahed Bataina from ICANN, and I work with Bahar covering the region as well. Answering your question, so the name of the person is Naveed Bin Rais, and he's from Majwa. I'm sure you know him. And actually, when we kick-started this whole initiative of Train the Trainer, we actually reached out to technical people who we actually know have competency and have capability and actually maybe being able to deliver such kind of training programs. Of course, I think one of the requirements is that you should kind of be involved in DNS operations, DNSSEC, I mean, in your day-to-day job. So we reached out to a couple of folks that we know actually benefited from such past trainings or have worked heavily or extensively on DNS operations and DNSSEC. And then we had colleagues from within ICANN and NSRC who actually evaluated the applications that we received. And towards the end, we chose 9 trainers, or let's say 9 potential trainers from different countries within the region, in hopes that they can actually be future trainers within their country or within their sub-region, let's say. We are in the, as Bahar mentioned, we are working with in Pakistan with Naveed on actually having some of these training programs in the near future. We are still in the initial stages, if I may say. And of course, once we have more information, we'll definitely be updating the community in Pakistan on what we are offering with Naveed and with any other potential trainers. Actually, we recently have been receiving questions on when will we be opening the next round of Train the Trainer. So frankly speaking, we actually need to utilize the current set of trainers before we decide that, yes, it's time to actually train a new set of trainers. So for us, okay, we have a Train the Trainer program, but our goal is not to have like 100 trainers and then not benefit from anybody. We need to utilize these guys. We need them to have expertise, and then we can move on and train more people.
Yes. Thank you, Bear, for this presentation. I will talk for experience of you. I think.
Can you please introduce yourself for the
remote participants? Yes, I'm Mofed Ahmani from Tunisia. So I will speak of our experience with you in this strategy. It was a very good experience. I think we have done everything with you. But it's our turn now to give you feedback after the last workshop that we have done. We are executing your recommendation, but we need time to give results. What I wanted to say that the Middle East strategy, it's not only the engagement of the group who is working now. It's also an engagement from the countries, and we should be active in this this program with you. What I wanted to say also that we want to continue in this experience and scenes until we give you good results, tangible results. And this is not the case now. So we want to continue with you this experience. Thank you.
Good evening, Osama Tamimi from Palestine. I have a comment on the fellowship program. I participated in 3 programs, 51, 52, 55, and I noticed that the Arabic participants are really limited in those programs. So I expected that there will increase in the number of the participants when it comes to Arab participants in the fellowship program. So I think we need to increase the opportunity for those people who come from this neighborhood, and thank you very much.
In Arabic, I'll answer in Arabic. فَشُكْرًا جَزِيلًا أُسَامَ عَلَى سُؤَالَكَ نَحْنُ فِي الْأَيْكَ.
We in ICANN, thank you for your question, Osama. We have 5 main geographic areas in this Arab world, and we divide them and then into 8. And we have a maximum of 50 seats for these regions when it comes to fellowship program. So hence, we have 6 seats for every region. So the Middle East and MENA area will receive probably 6 seats. But when you go back to the slide that Baher talked about, you will see between 11 to 12 people that are participating in ICANN meetings, and this is considered to be a precedent in our work. And another observation, although we have 8 geographic different areas when it comes to fellowship program, we find many applications that come from our part of the world. So even in Dublin, 25% of the applications came from the Arab world. If we talk about 12% to 13% of the applications are coming from the Arab world, it is considered to be satisfactory. And not all the applications are at the same level. Hence, we feel that there are actually a good presence so far in ICANN meetings from this part of the world.
Sure, it was really interesting. My name is Murad Militi. I come from Tunisia, and I represent Tunisian Internet Agency, ATI, and I'm from the technical department. And I'd like to switch to Arabic language just to be to join our colleague to explain some point of.
First of all, I would like to say that there is an idea that was launched in ICANN meeting 54 with Baher to introduce an Arabic session in ICANN meeting targeting Arabic speaking audience, and I would like from Baher to explain to us the steps that we are going through this.
شكرا مراد. فعلا كان في فكره جت من عند مراد.
Thank you. And this is an idea that was introduced from Murad in Dublin, and that was introduced to Fadi that we allocate some time or a session on the ICANN's agenda. That we will bring the Arab communities together, and of course it has to be planned ahead of time. And what will be the items of this meeting that will be discussed? And actually that was also available in planning to Marrakesh, and it was on the schedule. But because of the number of the sessions here in Marrakesh, we have almost more than 400 sessions only in this week in Marrakesh. So the time that was allocated for the session was Saturday, which is the beginning of the week. And me and Fahd were afraid that we as you know, most of the participants will arrive later than Saturday. So we were afraid, especially that will be our starting point, that we will not witness a successful meeting because of the absence of many participants. Fahd and I, when reviewed this, and we decided to postpone this event in coming events, and then especially to listen to your opinions, how should be the format of this meeting, because we have different models or formats for this kind of meetings. Yet the idea is an excellent idea, and we are well receiving it, and we are willing to implement it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is Mohammad Shabir from Pakistan. I am a new ICANN fellow. Thank you very much for very elaborative presentation and explanation on the happenings in MENA region. I have 2 points to make. One is that what so far you have talked about training the trainers. One experience that I had after attending this that you referred to the Pakistan School on Internet Governance, PKSIG, it was really a wonderful experience. And after that, we had a workshop on web accessibility in Pakistan in December with the cooperation of Internet Society. During that exercise, I actually audited about 100 websites from Pakistan. So it was saddening that most of the websites, they were not accessible. I know that I can deal with technical parts, but these are the technical people that actually make the websites, write the languages, and write the codes for these websites. So are there any initiatives or plans that you have for making the content accessible, or when you are training the trainers, do you include anything to tell them that, yes, you need to make the website accessible for persons with disabilities, for say, or persons with different languages? Yes, I know there are are websites initiated in different languages. Relating to this is my suggestion that if you are initiating new programs, such as Middle Eastern School on Internet Governance, any other schools on Internet Governance, there could be some sessions on web accessibility and need. And actually, it is the business that flourishes if you make your website accessible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Shabir, and thank you for joining us. So, in terms of ICANN, ICANN has a really limited mandate. So we are mandated with names, numbers, and protocol parameters. In other words, we are not involved in spam, we are not involved in content, and even when it comes to accessibility. However, regarding the various websites ICANN runs, whether the main ICANN website, or even the at-large website, or the GNSO, my colleagues actually take accessibility issues into account. And for a fact, there is actually a working group on accessibility within ICANN. And and actually, if you haven't been in touch with my colleague, I'll be very happy to actually get you in touch with her. And she'll actually maybe she'll be happy to integrate you within that working group, and actually you can be part of that. I hope that addresses your question.
So thank you, Behr. Thank you, Mr. Behr, Mr. Fahd. I have maybe a simple question, if I can say. So what are the challenges that you faced while devising that strategy, that Middle Eastern strategy, and in the Middle East, especially that ICANN has a multi-stakeholder policy, acts in a multi-stakeholder policy framework, but major stakeholders in the MENA region, they opt for an opacity in their policy decision-making. So there are a lot of problems and loopholes. So what are those challenges, and how can you learn from those challenges to better devise a better strategy in the future?
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Hamza, for the question. Indeed, you know, like in any effort or process, there must be challenges. And in the case of ICANN and regional engagement in the Middle East, challenges were not only related to ICANN, but there are more sort of broader challenges, mainly political challenges. We all know, you know, the situation in the region, and such, you know, political, you know, unrest and situation in the region does affect our engagement work as well. So just to give you an example, there are at least four countries in the region that neither Fahad nor myself can go to anymore, at least in the coming, you know, near future. And the engagement with their communities becomes more challenging. But apart from that, and when it comes to ICANN, when it comes to internet governance issues, one of the challenges is resources. Most of our stakeholders, whether private sector, government, non-government groups, you know, they work with very limited resources, and mainly I'm talking human resources, in that case human capacities, and you know, it's not easy to get an organization to send, you know, more than maybe one people to attend ICANN, or even dedicate more than one staffer for ICANN work, let alone other IG fora and issues and so forth. So resources certainly is a key challenge. Okay, yes, please. Okay.
Thank you, Bahar. My name is Biran Gillen. I just wanted to sort of answer some of the questions that the gentleman raised about accessibility. What's his name?
Shabir,
yes. I am a member of At Large and a former member of the ALAC, and we do a lot of work on accessibility. We actually have a working group on accessibility. There's also a cross-community working group on accessibility, which is meeting on Wednesday at 10:45 in Roseray. So I would be glad to give him information on that, and then we can follow up this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Just in response to your question whether to continue or not, I think you and Fahad have done wonderful work. You have engaged all the region and initiated a lot of projects, as you have mentioned. So I think you must continue. And secondly, in response to Shabir's question, actually it is everyone's responsibility who is managing website, who is the government, and not it does not lie on the ICANN. So a point is noted, and it will be communicated to ISP industry, at least in Pakistan, being the representative of telecom regulator in Pakistan. Thank you.
Thanks, Behar. My name is Samr al-Sadr. I'm from Egypt. I just wanted to follow up on a comment presented earlier by the colleague from Tunis and Behr's response to it regarding the schedule, the ICANN week schedule. If you look at the schedule, it's packed up. It's insane. There are so many sessions running alongside each other. It's impossible to attend every meeting you want to attend. So Behr is completely right in saying it's setting up special sessions is challenging. That's to say the least. But I do want to make one comment regarding tomorrow's session on the DNS study for the MEAC region. I think it was an extremely unfortunate decision to schedule that tomorrow. Tuesday is constituency day at ICANN meetings. That's when all the groups get together and discuss their own internal issues. It's very important for those groups to meet with each other. So you're going to have a big block, possibly not from the protocols community or the numbers, but as far as the names are concerned, the registrants, registrars, and registries will all be in closed meetings with their groups at the time, and you have a big block of the community who will not be able to participate in an extremely important session. And so I would respectfully ask that you do not schedule these sessions on constituency days in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr, and well noted. Okay, we have Rida, and then the gentleman, and there is one here, and then Hanan. Okay, Rida.
Thank you. Very short question. June 2016 and the way forward. Do you have any anticipation on major action lines for the future, or something like that?
Well, we have some broad lines. We're going to continue on some of the initiatives that we've already started, like the DNS Center, the regional events. We're going to build on what has been achieved so far to grow those events. And, now there are other sort of, I would say ideas that are still very premature on how to strengthen our engagement with communities, making more ICANN-related content available in local languages. So ICANN is making all the materials available in 6 UN languages plus Portuguese. Making them available in a non-UN language like Urdu, for example. So we're talking to some of our friends in Pakistan about this. So there is continuation of what we have already started, and there are some other ideas that are not mature yet. And this is also part of the sort of exercise we're going to all do together, from now till, probably end of this term of the strategy. While I have the microphone, and because Rida just reminded me, I just want to note two things regarding two projects, initiatives that also relate to our presence here in Marrakesh this week. One, there is an initiative for North African IGF, and Rida Galouz, our dear friend from Tunisia, is leading on this effort, and there is a meeting scheduled this week on Thursday at 10:30 a.m. On the North African IGF. So that's one. The other announcement I want to note, I want to highlight the DNS Entrepreneurship Center. They have a booth here at the exhibition area at the meeting, and the director of the center, Hadi Al-Minyawi from Egypt, is present here with us. So she's also, here to engage with you and get to know you. So with that, I'll return it back to the room. Please.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Mubashir from Pakistan. Can you please share if you are having any collaboration model for regional initiatives, like we are currently working on Asia-Pacific School on Internet Governance, and it's at its development phase, and we look forward to the ICANN.
Okay, thank you, Mubashir. So actually, in our regional engagement, we always like to work with our iSTAR partners, whether it's ISOC or even the RIPE, the regional internet registries, whether it's RIPE NCC, AFRINIC, or even APNIC. Like, for example, in the case of the School on Internet Governance, it was actually ICANN, ISOC, and APNIC on board. We didn't do this alone. We always like to collaborate with our iSTAR partners. And at the same time, we also like the local communities to actually get hold of such initiatives and then carry it on their shoulders. Now, you mentioned the Asia-Pacific School on Internet Governance. So my colleagues at the APAC Hub in Singapore are actually closely involved in that initiative. And I'm sure they have plans for that event. And I'm sure they'll be working that out together with you and your colleagues who are working on the APSIG initiative.
I'm asking just because three of the countries are part of Asia-Pacific region, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iran.
Yeah, okay. So, different organizations have different classifications when it comes to regions. For us in ICANN, our region consists of the 22 Arab states, plus Turkey, plus Iran, plus Afghanistan, plus Pakistan. And it's worth emphasizing that actually when we cover, when we do our work in North Africa, we actually work very closely with our colleagues in the Africa team.
Yeah, and let me add by saying that, you know, geographical regions are always confusing.
Yeah.
So, at the ICANN level, there are only five regions, and you're right, you know, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, they fall under Asia-Pacific. So if you want to participate in the at-large, you will be part of Asia-Pacific. There is no Middle East within at-large.
Yeah.
However, as far as ICANN engagement work is concerned, we have a number of sub-regions, if you will. So Middle East is one of those sub-regions, and it includes, as Fahd said, you know, the 22 Arab countries plus others like Pakistan, Iran, Afghanistan.
Sure. So. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Please. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Hadif Al-Bustanji from Jordan. بدي أسأل في العربي السؤال. إحنا أنا من المشاركين.
أنا من الجنريشن الثانية. I'm from the next generation. What I would like to know the strategy for ICANN going forward. And you were there, and I know that you are attending, and this is a live example for our continuation with our colleagues and getting introduced to other, getting to know them, and then the ICANN meetings do happen, and then we get to see them face to face. Some of the faces, are familiar, and we get to see them and discuss those issues one-on-one. The strategy for ICANN, one of the strategies is the getting the communication going with ICANN. And when we say this, it doesn't mean that basically we only have to deal with the stakeholder approach or the policies. No. You are very helpful to us, being a local rep, and talking and discussing with your colleagues and the people that basically have the stakeholder approach and your local society, and we as ICANN, how we can assist you in that. And what is really great to this one of the good things that you can work with is looking at trying to do lectures for your colleagues, have them apply for scholarships. So there are so many options that you can pick from.
Hanan, it would be really helpful, Beher, in fact, if you briefly present the impact of your work in Egypt and Tunisia so people understand, you know, why ICANN is doing a lot of work to promote the DNS industry in the MENA region. And I think, you know, representatives from, you know, the centers are present here, and maybe they can brief us on the impact so far. Another question is about ICANN strategy in the Middle East. I understand it's finishing by June 2016. And I'm really not sure if you're planning to extend the strategy to, you know, cover a certain number of years. Have you decided on that? Are you still thinking about it? And the third thing is about the functions of a working group. And I think Beher asked a question whether it's helpful for you to maintain a working group or the advisory group that you have for the strategy or remove it. So have you decided already what's the plan for the future? That would be great if you can brief us.
Thank you, Hanan. So I'll take your second question about the strategy and the plan moving forward. And on, you know, the case of Egypt, Tunisia, maybe Hadia, Wafa, Murad can speak to that a little bit. Short answer to your question is, well, we don't have a plan yet, you know, like complete plan yet. And hence is our discussion today. But of course, as I said, there is work that already ongoing, and we will continue. We're committed to continuing this work, and whether this is going to be as part of an annual sort of implementation plan, building on the same strategy, whether it's going to be a review of the 3-year strategy based on, you know, what has been accomplished. This is the kind of, you know, thing or decision that is not taken yet. I imagine that we will continue with maybe another 3-year strategy. That's my sort of personal thinking. But question remains on modalities of work and, you know, how we're going to ensure that community is engaged and is part of this work. Hadia? Okay,
so we actually have...
Regarding the impact of the work of the center so far, what it has done are the 9 workshops. And if we look at the workshops, train the trainer, for example, we had 9 trainers. 2 of them were already used as co-trainers in following workshops, like the DNS operation and the DNS SIC. If we look at the SWOT analysis for the DNS local markets in the 4 countries, I know, and I'm sure that Wafa will talk about that, they are taking the recommendations out that came out of the analysis, and they are working on it in order to implement it and see how they can. But the result of this implementation is not out yet. And also, if we talk about the SWOT analysis that were done also in Oman and in UAE and in Qatar, also it's the same. The results are not out yet, but definitely they are working on the recommendations. So we need maybe 6 months or more to see, after implementing the recommendations, where do we stand to know the true impact on the market. I would say also there is another impact that maybe we cannot see it straight away, but on coming out of the capacity building workshops and building expertise, and also on the workshops that talked about policy, or that also we prepare individuals to start to take part of the maybe build expertise, or that for people who can engage with ICANN work from the community. Right now, I cannot tell you, well, we have now 4 or 5 that can do that, but maybe we have hundreds or more. But coming out of the workshop, we also build expertise and decision makers that can later be able to participate in ICANN's decisions and policy making.
Yes, okay, so just before we take more interventions, so we actually have a comment from our friend and colleague Walid al-Saqqaf from Yemen, and he says, first of all, my sincere apologies for not being there in person due to compelling personal reasons. As someone who has been engaged in ICANN in the past, and not so much now, but more engaged in ISOC, I wish to emphasize what Baher had stated about the challenges in the MENA region. In particular, I wish to point to the need to pull our resources together as representatives of different sectors to collaborate from the grassroots level to help ICANN, ISOC, and other organizations be more effective. I wish to single out the Arab IGF and invite actors from the Arab region, push for more multi-stakeholderism and bottom-up approach. It's not easy, but we got to try and we are all required to work together to make this happen. And just for the record, Walid al-Saqqaf is actually an executive council member in ISOC.
Yes, okay, I will talk a little about our experience with the team of Beher. In fact, Beher has shown already the results at certain levels. He talked about L routes in certain countries. He talked about the program of training the trainer, and we have a co-trainer already in Tunisia that had followed their program. It's good to have trainers on these items, GNSSEC and others, from Arabic countries, the Middle East, and adjoined countries. And about the program of the workshops. In fact, we had a SWOT DNS workshop in Tunisia with Beher, with its team, and we made a study of our existing DNS market with the SWOT study within the registrar and the registry. And we fixed the role of everyone, the registry and the registrars. There were some recommendations that we should do work together. We draw with the registrars a plan to act seeing these recommendations. And as I said before, I have to give feedback to Beher in order to, after perhaps 6 months, and see what if everything is going good or not, and perhaps we need some support from them in other items. That's it.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah. Tariq.
Assalamu alaikum. Tariq Marani, min al-Sudan, wa min هي السودانية
CCTLD Registry of Sudan. I just want to ask about the DNS entrepreneurship centers. That's one in Cairo. I want to know what's the idea or what's the next steps for the ICANN. Do they encourage other such centers in Africa or in Middle East? Or do you want people to use this center more and you will give support for people from such countries like Sudan to go there and have training and they will get support for that? Or will it be by reaching people in other countries by making events there using that center? In fact, I'm asking this because I already had a meeting with the guys there in the DNS center. And it was really very, very nice and very good idea. And you want to know what's the next step for it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Tariq. So before talking to next steps, just to clarify, the center is currently is in its second year, and as I indicated quickly at the beginning, it's a 3-year project. So currently we're kind of like halfway to implementation, halfway to get this center sort of operational, up and running, and so forth. So in terms of next steps. For this year, we will continue with our capacity building efforts.
That's from our side as ICANN and community, helping with that. From the center side, so far the center has been incubated at NTRA. It hired the program director, Hadia. And then now the center is going to work on like a strategic plan for the center for the next 3 to 5 years, identifying what you know their key priorities are and so on. I can say that, you know, I think for the next year and a half, work on capacity building will continue. We may see other sort of priorities coming. Maybe we realize that, you know, focusing more on the business track is, you know, makes more sense for this region than maybe the legal track. Just an example, but capacity building will continue. At the same time, the center, from their side, they will strive to forge partnerships with community stakeholders, experts, CCTLDs. I know that this week they're talking to CCTLDs in the region to figure out how they can work together. So forging partnerships between the center and other entities is key for the center in the next, you know, phase. So this is in a nutshell where we are and where we're, you know, heading. Please.
Hiba Abbas from Sudan. Regarding the outreach activities, I just want to know if there is a kind of feedback or channel to provide the comments and feedback you got from the community to the ICANN and ICANN structure. And if there is, what is the process to continue with that, and if there is a result or something that is coming out of this?
Okay, so you, do you mean like feedback on outreach we do?
So part of the outreach, you are participating in some of the events in the region.
Okay.
And definitely you are getting some of the, I don't know, formal and informal comments on some of the ICANN work.
Okay.
Is there like a formal channel to feed that back into the ICANN, or how it be treated?
Okay, so usually at ICANN, when we do outreach or we attend events, we actually mingle and network with people. And I mean, some of those people would show initial interest in ICANN's work, and we kind of follow up with them on what ICANN does and how to maybe be more involved in ICANN's work. Of course, one of the things worth mentioning that we do at ICANN at the moment is that we are doing some kind of vertical integration within our teams, in a sense that we actually have a dedicated track at the moment for civil society engagement, and then we have a dedicated track for business engagement, another dedicated track for technical and academic engagement. So usually when we see, I mean, when we engage with stakeholders, we work internally with our teams to see how we can actually take things to the next level with them. And so, and of course, in most cases, we seek what they are interested in terms of ICANN and what they'd like us to do. So some people come to us and would like to partner with us on a certain event, or maybe have a webinar, or maybe a workshop. I mean, the options are endless. I wouldn't say that it's just limited to a certain thing. One thing we like to see people doing in our outreach is that they come and attend either our regional events or maybe ICANN meetings or maybe the IGF. So let's say I speak to somebody and that person is interested in internet governance, so maybe we would encourage them to maybe attend the global IGF, maybe attend the Arab IGF. I mean, options are endless. Frankly speaking, internally, we actually have some tools in order to kind of measure how successful, I mean, the success of how we are engaging with our stakeholders. This is actually in its initial stages, but what's important for us is that we have maybe more visibility and we get to know more people on the ground in countries. I mean, I'm not sure if I addressed your question.
Let me take a specific example. So, okay. Coming from Sudan, I know that you've been to Sudan in some of the workshops. And I know that during workshops, people had some kind of talk and some kind of concern regarding the ICANN and the U.S. sanction and the ICANN stewardship and other stuff. So is there like a formal channel where you channel these comments back to ICANN, or should we go? Because being in engagement and outreach, that means ICANN is present at our reach, and that may be an opportunity for people who are not able to attend or participate to get their feedback. So is this like, this is the right channel, or we have to go through the other channels?
Okay. So the best way to actually do that is to go through your regional team. So in the case of Sudan, you can actually talk to Baher and myself, and if there are any implications or issues, we run it internally through the organization. And even actually, if you try to run it through other channels, they will send it back to us. So, I mean, we are the focal point of contact when it comes to these issues. And I'll let me be clear on one thing. For both Baher and myself, so Baher has been serving the region like for the past 10 years. I've been working with him like for the past 2.5 years. And for us, I mean, we understand that there are political implications. There is this whole concept of sanctions for some countries. But we really strive to ensure that all our stakeholders from all the countries in the region we cover are actually receive the services we can provide to everybody on equal footing. Of course, we don't succeed always, but we try our best to do that.
I just want to note quickly that here in the room we have Sally Costerton. Sally is my boss, and she's also a senior advisor to the ICANN president on global stakeholder engagement. So Sally oversees all the work of global engagement in all regions, including Middle East. So anything you ask for, she has to approve it, and she usually does. And thank you, Sally, for coming. Thank you. Question.
Assalamu alaikum. Hashim Noman from Pakistan. So my question is really simple. How do you maintain the balance in the community engagement in the region among the countries? Because is it just that how involved the community from the country wants to be, or do you try to maintain a balance?
Well, we strive to, improve our outreach as we go. And it's a two-way thing, as I said at the outset. The more, sort of engagement we get from the communities, the more work we can do with them. And the big example here is Pakistan. Pakistan, actually, they sort of enforced us to do more in Pakistan. Fahad has been to Pakistan 3 times in the past 6 months. Okay, the summer school in IG, it came from the community. The PK NOG, even though it's not an ICANN initiative, it's ISOC, APNIC, and ICANN was participating. So all these things came from you guys. So it's two-way. We certainly try to keep the balance. We try to work with everyone, and we do work with everyone. But, you know, the amount of work we do varies from one country to another, depending on, the kind of engagement we see from countries and communities. Salam.
Thank you, Baher. مساء الخير سلام يموت من RIPE NCC. I wanted also to say that we have the Middle East Network Operators Group. We're trying to grow the technical community in the region, and we have 2 meetings a year. They are partly sponsored by RIPE NCC, but also by ICANN, ISOC, and the others. And next MENOG will be in Istanbul, 23 and 24 of March. And for us, the Middle East region goes all the way from Pakistan, I guess, to Morocco, right? And there is no reason not to come together as a group and get to know more each other. And all 3 organizations also have a fellowship for all of you to be able to attend if you'd like to. Last thing, I want to talk about something called RACI. RIPE also is starting, they already had this program for academic cooperation where people would present a good idea, a good project, some kind of research, some kind of innovation, and they will get a prize that is to go to the RIPE meeting where it is attended by 800 people from all the RIPE region, which is Russia, Europe, Eastern Europe, Middle East. So it's a good opportunity for the inventor or the innovators or the researchers to show their invention to the rest of the world. And we are working on it to also put some kind of cash grant with it. So please, if you or somebody have innovation or research or has link with academia, please present to the RACI. And what we have done in the RIPE is that we are guaranteed, like for the region, for the Middle East region, is guaranteed one spot. the Eastern European region is also guaranteed one stop. One slot, and the other have to compete among each other. So please present. You will be guaranteed some kind of, like, a little bit of help to get to the next level. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Salam. Hamza?
I have another question. So I have been engaged in building grassroots movements in the MENA region. So now we have, I think, one of the biggest grassroots movement of policy analysts who work on the internet. But those people, they are maybe they are human rights activists. They come from a legal background, but they are not really technically savvy enough to try or kind of to embrace to understand the whole framework of internet governance at its three layers. So how can we help you in that process of your ICANN outreach engagement in the MENA region, but at the same time can upgrade our own initial backgrounds to kind of have more technical knowledge, and that technical knowledge can be taught to us through different engagements and trainings and workshops that can benefit both parties. So I work with Hivos Foundation on the Internet Governance MENA Vision Program, and we worked on a project called the Internet Policy Analyst, which is, with all modesty, very famous.
Shams can train them.
Okay, thank you, Hamza.
In ATI.
Okay, thank you.
About engaging with ICANN, but at the same time benefiting the both parties.
Okay. So thank you, Hamza. So there are a couple of things I can mention in this regard. Number one, there is a lot of discussion at the moment within ICANN to integrate human rights into the bylaws. So that's one thing you can contribute to, and you can actually encourage your local community to be part of. Number two, as I mentioned earlier, we have this vertical integration at ICANN. So at the moment, we have an engagement with civil society, which is called Civil Society Engagement. And it's led by my colleague, who's the Vice President of Europe, Jean-Jacques Sahel. And frankly speaking, we're still in the initial stages. So we have this global civil society engagement framework, which was actually shared with the community, and we received feedback from the community, and we updated the community. And there is another update actually here at ICANN 55 for civil society engagement. Now, our next step... Our next step is to actually customize this global civil society strategy at the regional level. And that's where we will actually seek help and feedback from the regional community on what you'd like to see us doing for you.
For example, for human rights advocates or for someone coming from a legal background, if he confronts a technical background, he does not have a solution for that. So I think it's better to have advocates in the MENA region who can approach like one legal problem or human rights problem from a technical perspective. So they can have like a dual background. And I think ICANN can help us in that, like training human rights advocates and grassroots people to be technically savvy enough to have their own tools while confronting problems of censorship or surveillance or any problems that can confront in the future in terms of content on the internet and in terms of human rights. So you have a technical mission here. And of course, we will help you in that outreach strategy as well. So does it make sense?
Okay, so let me be clear on one thing. ICANN's mandate is very limited. Now, when you talk about surveillance and circumvention, that really goes out of our mandate. We really can't talk about, but then we can maybe get you in touch with the right experts who can actually maybe help you on that.
We can take it offline.
We can take this discussion offline. Okay, Shabir.
Thank you, Fahd and Beher. Actually, your candid remarks and answers forced me to ask another question, which is very close to my topic of interest. As a student of international relations, I take interest in international happenings and how it impacts the internet as well. So I would like to hear your opinion and your ideas, and how do you feel about this US-Iran nuclear deal? Because after this nuclear deal is materialized and sanctions are lifted, there will be a lot of business coming in and outside of Iran. So what potential do you see in Iran, and how do you see it flourishing in there?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. Well, the potential we see in Iran is massive, just to say the least. I mean, we've been to Tehran, Fahd and myself last year in a couple of events. We met with stakeholders from governments, non-governments and business companies. And we have, you know, many requests for engagement in Iran and with the Iranian community. Of course, you know, politics sometimes play against our wishes. And I hope, you know, like others, that with the recent development on the U.S.-Iran deal front, things will improve, and our engagement with Iran will, you know, become easier. Right now, it's not that easy. We do have relationships with many stakeholders in Iran. They come to ICANN meetings, people from the government at the higher level, people from private sector, and they are here actually in Marrakesh as well. But they it's like Pakistan, you know, they demand ICANN to do more. And sometimes our, you know, outreach to them is a bit limited. But I hope that this will improve.
So, do you have any specific plans upcoming?
Specific plans? No. We do have a couple of like projects that are currently in the work with them, but they're not finalized yet.
Okay.
So I'm not able to announce them. But we've been and this is part of the challenge. They're taking time because of the political challenge. But we're working with them very, very closely.
Thank you,
Navid.
Sorry, Navid. I just I might have missed this information, but just wanted to know if there is a consensus on this strategy of Middle East that was is due to expire in June. So is there a consensus on the continuation or the update of this strategy post June 2016? Thanks.
Thank you, Navid, for bringing us back to the agenda. It's certainly. I mean, I wouldn't say that we have had enough feedback from this discussion, though it was very useful in terms of feedback and suggestions on way forward. Well, based on feedback on this specific question on continuation of working group and, you know, which format and so forth, based on feedback that we have gotten over email in the past couple of weeks from you as well as others, all the comments that we got were in favor of continuing the strategy. Continuing is some sort of a working group. There is no consensus on what kind of working group, open, closed, large, small, no consensus yet on that particular point. So, you know, we will continue discussion with you guys, if not here in Marrakesh, online or maybe via webinar or conference calls over the next couple of weeks. Also, I think the feedback that we got via email was not sent to everybody. Okay, so maybe we need... Okay, so we...
In fact, it is a consultation.
Okay, so what I'm going to do with the permission of people who provided this feedback, I'm going to share this with the wider group over mailing lists and so forth. I'm going to do this, but I need to seek their permission first, but I'm going to do this. Nadira was one of them, so Nadira gave her permission. Navid was another one. So, yeah, I'll reach out to the rest of those people who provided feedback and will circulate their feedback to the larger group. That's easy.
I'd like to just add one more point. So the consensus. So what's for sure is that the region wants this to continue. But what we are still kind of figuring out is: should we do it as a working group, or should we do it as an ad hoc group? Let's say ad hoc open group. So that's the main question at the moment for us.
Just to follow up on that, sorry. Just to follow up on that, I mean, my point is that you had a strategy for 2 or 3 years. So before doing a review of that study, it is difficult to decide whether you are going to continue with that or you really or seriously need an update on that. So what I would propose is to have an interim kind of small party or whatever, a set of volunteers that study all the development, and that may not be the ICANN staff, I mean the community members, who might do a consensus on what they want, whether there is a serious review of this that is required, or with small modification, I'm sure some modifications to that strategy is certainly required. With small or a major revisions, you can continue on that. So that.
One second. A question for him. Does he want an assessment? You want an assessment of the current strategy?
Yeah,
because it's different from a review. See, an assessment is what has been good, what has not been good, and what to do in the next steps.
In terms of data, we have that we have some initiatives and set up, and we can see the result. But what I would like to have is to have a team that review that document to see what was achieved and what was not achieved. I mean, we have in numbers. You can put it in that way. We have numbers of what was done, but we don't have information of what could not be done or was not done, right? So this is important to go forward. Thanks.
Having an evaluation is mandatory. I mean, I don't think we can do anything more if we do not make this evaluation, but there are still two issues to be dealt with. The first one being the format. Are we going to continue with the same format, working format? One. And second, what are, according to what is happening now in ICANN, what is happening in the internet environment, what are going to be the main action lines that may be pre-identified prior to continuing with the group or even the evaluation should take into consideration what's going on. What's going on?
Okay, so Naveed, in terms of assessing, I mean, this entire strategy, so once June 30th comes, we will report to the regional community on what we have done. Just a couple of weeks before we flew into Marrakesh, both Baher and myself actually worked on a document listing all the main activities and sub-activities and what we've done. So actually I have the document right in front of me, but it's not for public consumption at this stage. We actually reflected this in our slides, more or less, but this is more detailed. We will share this information with the group. Now, on
can I add
something? Yes, please.
So I think to this very point, what we can do, based on Naveed's comment or suggestion, is that from the document that Fad and myself are working on, which will evolve into the final sort of report on the 3-year, what we can do as an action item from this discussion is to provide this document as a draft document to the group, you know, okay, and have deliberation on this draft report, because it will be missing a couple of activities that will take place over the next couple of months, so it's no big deal. So the draft report can be made available, okay, and then the one thing we will have to figure out, you know, we can put it for the entire community to provide feedback, but then your suggestion is to have a sort of smaller group, review group of some sort. So I'm not clear on this point, but making the draft report available for the public is something we can certainly do.
I agree to that. That's why I didn't say that it has to be the community. ICANN staff can do that themselves. My point is that, I mean, you would still would mention the achievements and all that, and this is what a report is all about. But if there is a self-assessment that you can provide in that report of what could not be achieved, and these are the reasons that it was not achieved, then the community would be in a better position to comment on that and to suggest the way forward for the betterment of the region and the strategy, you know. So this is what my point is. I mean, it can be done by the community members or by the staff.
Okay, so let me tell you one thing. In our assessment, actually, we concluded, I think we had something like 30 or 30 plus, somewhere around 30 sub-activities to work on. There were two or three sub-activities that we didn't work on. One was IPv6 training, and that is the work actually of the regional internet registries. When we spoke to the regional internet registries, they said, we will handle this. So ICANN didn't work on it directly. We worked on it indirectly with our partners. There was another set of trainings on registry operations, and when we spoke to the regional community, they felt that they didn't want it. They wanted more of DNSSEC. So at one stage, actually, we organized this workshop in 2014 in Amman, and then we received and we were supposed to do one of these registry operation courses, and then we received a request saying, no, we want something on DNSSEC, and we actually realized from then that actually there was more demand for stuff like DNS operations and DNSSEC versus these registry operations courses. So we removed that again from the... I mean, we didn't implement that. But other than that, everything in the strategy was actually implemented, and we add on that more, such as dedicated business engagement and to some extent civil society engagement.
Yeah, and let me also add quickly that not only the what activities have or have not been implemented, we've also faced some challenges measuring the progress. Some of the metrics that were suggested in the strategy document 3 years ago, we found it very difficult to sort of measure or touch, if you see what I mean. So we're going to provide all this information in this draft report for your review and feedback, and then we'll take the next step from there. So that's no problem. Please.
I just before, one quick comment. So on the question Rida asked on whether do we still need a working group or do we do it ad hoc, actually, this is what we are seeking from you in this session. We want this to be answered by you. We don't want to make the decision. So you tell us, what do you want? I mean, one thing I can share with you is a really quick brief on how this initial strategy came out. So we had a working group of 22 people from 10 countries. They worked on the strategy document. They identified what were the strategic goals and what ICANN's engagement should be within the region. And then from that document, they agreed that we would have implement the strategy as an implementation plan for the next 3 years. Now, once we started implementing the implementation plans, the Middle East Strategy Working Group started fading in its interaction with us. They said, okay, we developed the strategy for you. We told you what to implement. You go and do it. And actually what we do at the moment is that we report back to the Middle East Strategy Working Group every 3 months on the progress of the implementation plan of that year. So, and Ali, for example, is a member of the Middle East Strategy Working Group. I mean, and the last time the group met was in February 2014, because after that, we were in agreement that we didn't need anything else to do. So, okay, ICANN is implementing, ICANN is reporting to us once every 3 months, and we are good. And that's the question we want to ask you all. Should we move in the same pace, or do we really need another strategy working group that can actually add to what the current strategy has, or maybe implement something else? And as I mentioned to you earlier, for both Bahar and myself, it wasn't just about the findings of the strategy. We actually factored in several other things. So we have been engaging extensively with law enforcement agencies and certs. There, as I said, there is this civil society engagement. There is this business engagement in a more dedicated manner within ICANN. So this is the question we are asking you all. How do we move forward? Hiba.
I don't know if it's time for this or something, but I have based on the things about assessment, like a suggestion. Part of the problem that we have in Middle East, that in MENA region, we don't actually know as countries where we stand in terms of, let's say, DNS operation and DNSSEC. For example, I know that our CCTLD is not signed yet. I don't know why, but I think having something like comparative, studies among all the countries showing that in terms of operation, exactly any statistic, how are we stand and what could be the way forward or best practices might help the local communities to push for an optimum result. And as far as for your... question about the working group, I think opening the assessment or putting the assessment for the public and have some feedback and then channel it through another working group will be better than continue I think after 3 years, you need to have like a checkpoint to revise and make sure that the intended impact is actually happened, because you might not, it might not be happening. So you might need some kind of change in the strategy or in the activities itself. Thank you.
Just quickly on your first point about comparative studies among CCTLDs. So the DNS marked study that was conducted by URID and, you know, will be presented tomorrow, there is an appendix in the report that provides detailed information coming directly from CCTLDs. Now, question, of course, whether all CCTLDs accepted to provide this information or not, I'm not sure. So I'm not sure which countries are or are not listed in this report, because, you know, one thing you have to be mindful of is any information coming from CCTLDs, you know, they have to provide it. I mean, some many of, you know, the CCTLD kind, even the, like, root zone file or something, they're not usually for CCTLDs. This is not public information. They have to make it available, and then they also have to approve that, you know, this information is published somewhere. But anyway, the report has details about many, probably not all, but many CCTLDs from the Middle East. There was another question here.
If I can just make a follow-up comment.
Okay.
I mentioned CCTLD as an example, but I know that in terms of goals, the engagement team is want to get more community on the from the region to ICANN. So that could, the same thing that is happening with the CCTLD could happen for the at-large maybe and other stuff. So this just like...
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اسمحوا لي بان اتكلم باللغة العربية واعرف بنفسي استاذ
ود ان اتكلم I would like to talk to speak in the Arabic language, and for the society here the strategic work is really the core of the issue, and it would decide the work moving forward. I have two comments. First, the methodology, as you guys prepare a draft, what and do the opposite, in other words, it's suggestions to the general, and then you draft the language afterwards, in that, or you can mix both together. And apparently, that's where you're heading. Or you're going to wait. On that is for the methodology part. For the practical part, to guarantee the success, there have to be, the facts on the ground have to be decided. And...
So there is a shortage in areas where ICANN is present. So the work today is ample, paramount work expected, whether we talk about the internet community as a whole. And so to we have to first to decide on the objectives. Objectives for the next 3 years, those are short-term, mid-term, and long-term objectives. And after to decide on the objectives, we have to tackle the mechanisms. What are according to the type of objectives? And the mechanisms, if you ask me about the mechanisms, have a complete openness when we talk about the internet community. Whether we talk about openness with organizations, associations, whether governmental or non-governmental. In addition to that, all other parties. So this, what we can call a mechanism of openness, we will achieve many objectives, and this is one point. The second point is this is the follow-up policy. We can have a wonderful, a marvelous strategy, yet we cannot secure a success of any strategy without being followed up, and thank you very much. Thank you very much for...
If you can just summarize what was being asked, because it was kind of too fast to be translated, I guess.
Okay, so...
Because
so
I, the- I-
twofold. One was about how we're going to structure ourselves around this work methodology. Are we going to provide draft document for feedback? Are we going to call on community to provide input and then we consolidate? Are we going to do something in the middle? That was the first part. The second part was about developing any strategy requires determining objectives and then afterwards follow up on implementation and assessing what has been accomplished and so forth. This is in a nutshell the intervention. So allow me to try to answer quickly in Arabic since the intervention was in Arabic, and I'll try to do it briefly and slowly. So
In regards to the methodology, we agreed on present the draft as you mentioned, and this draft will give a summary on what has been achieved and what was not achieved when it comes to the three-year strategy, and we will also collect a feedback from the larger community regards to this draft. So God willing, before next June, we will have a final report on this strategy. This is about the first point. In terms of the second point, and I agree with you 100%, any strategy has to have a set of goals, and this is what exactly what we did for this current strategy. 3 years ago, we had specific set of objectives and action items as well, an accurate matrix as well. How are we going to assess also, how are we going to measure the achievement of each action item? So today, we will report all this and to review the current strategy so we can agree on how we're going to update the strategy. So the action items as well might be updated at this point, outdated. So, and this is all what we agreed upon. But what did we not agree upon so far as well? And when, especially when we're going to work on the next strategy, whether it's going to be a 1 or 2 or 3 year strategy, shall we create a working group for that? Is it an open group? Should be a closed working group? We're going to have to discuss this. And we still have time. And as I mentioned earlier, and through the feedback we received through your emails, we heard that there is a request to have a role of the community as a whole for the coming strategy as well. How, I mean, the format of the group, working group, again, close, open, these are details. And I think we will be able to agree on the date on those details in the next 2-3 years, three weeks, I'm sorry, by hearing, receiving the emails.
Our regional mailing list, Fahad can provide you with the link to get yourself subscribed on the list and get all the updates and engage in all the discussions about anything related to ICANN in the Middle East.
I will not be able to give my personal opinion. I don't talk about the working group. I'm talking about the mechanisms here. We have a mechanism that we employed 3 years ago. It had advantages more than disadvantages. On the other hand, one of the disadvantages was the group that was in charge of the strategy. They were asked to overseeing the implementation. And as Fahd said, they will not receive any complete outcome review from them at the end of the day. But yet, the mechanism was simple. The working group worked on a strategy, was submitted to the ICANN team, and it's an implementation plan. It's an annual implementation plan. And every 3 months of this 1 year, we review it and see see what was accomplished. The mechanism for the next period, we did not agree upon yet, and due to the limited time we have for this session, I will not be able to go into details, but we will continue our discussion after we walk out of this room.
I just want to have a last comment on this. I mean, I don't see a strong reason of continuing the strategy as it is now. I'm saying this because I see this or the previous strategy as successful one. So once you are successful in doing that, you know that your targeted audience would be at a next level. So in order to address them at the next level, you need a fresh or an updated or a better strategy, you know. It's just like teaching students in the class. When they pass 1 year, you need to provide them at a higher level to the next class. So that's my point of view. So that's why I need a reason to have a fresh or an updated strategy. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Naveed. Well noted. And thank you for your input. And I think on that note, I'd like to thank you all for coming and for staying toward the end of this session. It was very useful for us as ICANN team. We thank you for this. We thank you for your continued engagement with us. And we look forward to continuing the work with you on, you know, phase two of the Middle East strategy. And as I said, we're going to continue communication via email, and we will certainly have some sort of conference call or webinar set probably in the next couple of weeks. Thank you again, and enjoy the rest of you, the week in Marrakesh. Thank you.